Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin Mandi Mamre by Ram Goldar, and today we're Sarkas Baba Kama Daf Kuf Gimel. The ninth parakah goes on Eitzim. So the three tops we're going to focus on are when a Bryce in the previous Daf taught that if one buys a field in his friend's name, in Kofin Oso Limkor, we do not force him to sell. But if he told him Almanas, on condition to sell, Kofin Oso Limkor, we force him to sell. After several interpretations are rejected, Abai explains the case is where the buyer declared untruthfully that he bought it on the Reish Galus' behalf to discourage potential protesters. The Braisa means we do not force the seller to sell it a second time, meaning to write him another shtar identifying him as the true owner. Although the buyer can argue that the seller understood that he only claimed to purchase for the Reish Galus as a security measure, and realized the buyer wanted a second document, the seller can respond that he thought the buyer arranged with the Reish Galus to write a shtar for him. However, if the buyer stipulated that the seller would write him another document, we force him to. This means he said to aid him in the seller's presence, Chazud the shtar acharina kabeina, note that I want another document, intimating that he wants the seller to write it. Point number two, the next mission states, Hagozel Sechavero Shava Pruta, one who robs from his fellow in the value of a pruta, Vinishbo, and then swears falsely to him, denying the robbery, but later confesses and is chayv to pay the principal and an additional fifth and bring a carbon asham, Yolichenu Acharav Afilu LaMadai, he must bring the payment after him, even to Madai. He cannot give it to the victim's son, nor to his own Shaliach, but he may give it to a Shaliach of Basin, a Takana enacted to encourage his repentance. If the victim dies, he must bring the money to his heirs. The mission continues that if the principal was paid or forgiven, but not the additional fifth, or less than a pruta's worth a principal remains, he need not bring the remaining payment to him. If the chomish was paid or forgiven, but not the principal, or even just one pruta's worth of the principal, he must still bring it to him, even to Madai. And point number three, the mission taught that one must ensure payment reaches his robbery victim after he swears to deny it. The Gemara said this does not fit with either opinion in the Mishnah. Gazel Echav Mechamisha, one who robbed one of five people, Ve'en Yedei Ezeman, but does not know which one of them it was, and each of them claims it was he. Rabbi Tarfon says, Maniach Gazel Benehem U'Mistalek, he places the robbed item between them and removes himself. Rabbi Kiva says, this is not the derech to remove him from Avera, Ad Sheyasham Gazel Echo Echo Be'echod. He has not fulfilled his obligation until he pays the robbed item's value to every one of them. The Gemara assumes that their Malchokas applies whether the robber swore falsely or not, so the Mishnah does not accord with either opinion. The Gemara tends to explain that their Malchokas only applies when he did swear falsely, or alternatively, only when he did not swear falsely. However, both interpretations are disproven, and Rashi says we revert to the original assumption that they argue in both cases. Rava explains the Mishnah differently on the next daf. So once again, the 3 points are number one. A Bryce on the previous daf taught that if one buys a field in his friend's name, in Kofin Oso Limkor, we do not force him to sell, but if he told him Almanas, on condition to sell, Kofin Oso Limkor, we force him to sell. After several interpretations are rejected, Abai explains the case is where the buyer declared untruthfully that he bought it on the Reish Galus' behalf to discourage potential protesters. The Braisa means we do not force the seller to sell it a second time, meaning to write him another shtar identifying him as the true owner. Although the buyer can argue that the seller understood that he only claimed to purchase for the Reish Galus as a security measure, and realized the buyer wanted a second document, the seller can respond that he thought the buyer arranged with the Reish Galus to write a shtar for him. However, if the buyer stipulated that the seller would write him another document, we force him to. This means he said to aid him in the seller's presence, Chazud the shtar acharina kabeina, note that I want another document, intimating that he wants the seller to write it. Point number two, the next mission states, Hagozel Sechavero Shava Pruta, one who robs from his fellow in the value of a pruta, Vinishbo, and then swears falsely to him, denying the robbery, but later confesses and is chayv to pay the principal and an additional fifth and bring a carbon asham, Yolichenu Acharav Afilu LaMadai, he must bring the payment after him, even to Madai. He cannot give it to the victim's son, nor to his own Shaliach, but he may give it to a Shaliach of Basin, a Takana enacted to encourage his repentance. If the victim dies, he must bring the money to his heirs. The mission continues that if the principal was paid or forgiven, but not the additional fifth, or less than a pruta's worth a principal remains, he need not bring the remaining payment to him. If the chomish was paid or forgiven, but not the principal, or even just one pruta's worth of the principal, he must still bring it to him, even to Madai. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that one must ensure payment reaches his robbery victim after he swears to deny it. The Gemara said this does not fit with either opinion in the Mishnah. Gazel Echav Mechamisha, one who robbed one of five people, Ve'en Yodei Ezemahen, but does not know which one of them it was, and each of them claims it was he. Rabbi Tarfon says, Maniach Gazel Benehem Umistalek. He places the robbed item between them and removes himself. Rabbi Kiva says, this is not the derech to remove him from Avera, Ad Sheyasham Gazel Echo Echo Be'echod. He has not fulfilled his obligation until he pays the robbed item's value to every one of them. The Gemara assumes that their Malchokas applies whether the robber swore falsely or not, so the Mishnah does not accord with either opinion. The Gemara tends to explain that their Malchokas only applies when he did swear falsely, or alternatively, only when he did not swear falsely. However, both interpretations are disproven, and Rashi says we revert to the original assumption that they argue in both cases. Rava explains the Mishnah differently on the next daf. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Gimel. Our standard Siman is Kugel, and we use Yerushalmi Kugel to make the Siman more distinct. So here goes. The land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel, or refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought the field on the Reish Galusa's behalf, packed up some Kugel for the Gazlan on his way to Madai to bring payment to the victim after he had sworn falsely, and only later confessed, and served Kugel to the five people waiting to be paid by the thief who stole from one of them, but did not remember who. Once again, slow motion. The land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel, that must be earned off Kuf Gimel. The land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel, or refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought the field on the Reish Galusa's behalf, which reminds us, if a buyer declared untruthfully that he bought a field on the Reish Galusa's behalf to discourage potential protesters, we do not force the seller to sell it a second time, meaning he doesn't have to write him another document identifying him as a true owner. Although the buyer can argue that the seller understood that he only claimed to purchase for the Reish Galusa as a security measure and realized the buyer wanted a second shtar, the seller can respond that he thought the buyer arranged with the Reish Galusa to write a shtar for him. So the land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel while refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought the field on the Reish Galusa's behalf, packed up some Kugel for the Gazlan on his way to Madai to bring payment to the victim after he had sworn falsely, and only later confessed, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hagozel es chavero shava pruta, one who robs from his fellow the value of a pruta, v'nishbolo, and then he swears falsely to him, denying the robbery, but later confesses and is chayv to pay the principal and an additional fifth and bring a karban hashem, yolechenu akarav afil lamadai, he must bring the payment after him even to Madai. He cannot give it to the victim's son, nor to his own shaliach, but he may give it to a shaliach basin, which is a takana enacted to encourage his repentance. So the land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel while refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought a field on the Reish Galusa's behalf, packed up some Kugel for the Gazlan on his way to Madai to bring payment to the victim after he had sworn falsely, and only later confessed, and served Kugel to the five people waiting to be paid by the thief who stole from one of them but did not remember who, which reminds us, it was taught in the Mishnah, Gazel Echad Mechamisha, one who robbed one of five people, Ve'en Yodei Ezemahen, but he doesn't know which one of them it was, and each of them claims it was he. Rabbi Tarfon says, Maniach Gazel Benehu Mistalek, he places the robbed item between them and removes himself. Rabbi Kiva says, this is not the derech to remove him from Avera. Ad Sheyashalem Gazel Kol Echad Ve'Echad, he has not fulfilled his obligation until he pays the robbed item's value to every one of them. So once again, the land seller enjoying his Yerushalmi Kugel, or refusing to write a second shtar for the buyer who falsely claimed that he bought the field on the Reish Galusa's behalf, packed up some Kugel for the Gazlan on his way to Madai to bring payment to the victim after he had sworn falsely, and only later confessed, and served Kugel to the five people waiting to be paid by the thief who stole from one of them but did not remember who. All right, so now it's time for four blabach Hazara. Dav Tzadi Tes. The Simmer Dav Tzadi Tes is a cheetah. So here goes. The craftsman who is still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots. Cheetah. That must be Dav Tzadi Tes. Cheetah. The craftsman was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment he returned to the customer, which reminds us, the Gemara seeks to disprove that a craftsman acquires utensils improvement from a brisa discussing prohibition of delaying a laborer's wages overnight. If a craftsman completed work on a cloak given to him and informed the owner but did not return the cloak, the owner does not transgress the prohibition even 10 days later. However, if he returned the cloak midday, as soon as the sun sets on him, he transgresses baltalin, the prohibition of a laborer's wages shall not remain overnight with you, because the wages are owed as soon as the cloak is returned. The Gemara answers that he was hired to stamp on the cloth, a ma for each stamping, meaning he's paid for his acts and not the cloth's improvement, so he does not acquire it. So the craftsman was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment. He returned to the customer, was approached by a wealthy woman who gave him some gold and told him to make a gold ring with a cheetah on it, and she'll become married to him, which reminds the Gemara suggests that the question of Umen Konach B'Shevach Chli is a Malkokas Tanaim. A woman handed gold to a craftsman and said, make for me bracelets, earrings, or rings with it, and in return I'll become married to you. Ramir says she's married as soon as he makes him and gives him to her, but the Chum say, as the Gemara explains, that he must give her other money, but this jewelry would not affect Kedushin. The Gemara assumes everyone holds that Yeshna Laschiris Metchil Vatsova Hava Milva. Wages become owed from the beginning of the work until the end, and that Kedushin made with a loan isn't effective. Since each pruta's worth of work would become owed to the labor as it's done, accumulating debts to the craftsman giving her the finished product would not affect Kedushin. So the craftsman was still waiting after sunset to be paid for stamping cheetah spots on the garment. He returned to the customer, was approached by a wealthy woman who gave him some gold and told him to make a gold ring with a cheetah on it, and she'd become married to him. After she decided not to marry the expert shochet, who improperly shechted an animal, rendering it unavailable. Which reminds us, Shmuel said, Tabach Umet Shekil Kel, an expert shochet, who was given an animal to shecht, and he ruined it by shechting it improperly, rendering it unavailable. He's chayv to pay the owner. He's a damager, and he's negligent. It's like the owner said to him, shecht for me here, the trachea and esophagus, and he shechted him from a different place. The second phrase adds that even if he shechted it for free, he's still chayv for his negligence. Daf Kuf, so the simon Daf Kuf is a kof, a monkey. So here goes. The circus monkey, monkey, that must mourn Daf Kuf, kof. The circus monkey standing under Alifnim Ashura's a din sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, which reminds us, the previous stuff relates an incident in which a woman showed a dinar to Rabbi Chiya, who told the coin was good, and she accepted it based on his judgment. She returned the next day and said that she was told it was a bad coin and could not use it as currency. Rabbi Chiya told Rav to exchange it for her and to write into his ledger, din asik bish, this is a bad occupation, meaning taking losses needlessly for advice he should not give. The Gemara wonders why Rabbi Chiya was liable since he was a great enough expert to be exempt, and it answers, Lifnim Mishur said, din hu David, he went beyond the letter of the law in compensating her, for he was indeed exempt. So the circus monkey standing under a Lifnim Mishur said, din sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, saw another monkey wearing a din garmi cap swinging towards him holding paper that said, you are chayav to pay, which reminds us, Reish Lakish showed the Adina to Rabbi Lazar, who told him it was a good coin. Reish Lakish told him he was relying on him and explained that if it were found to be bad, Belaz would be responsible to exchange it. This is because Reish Lakish rules like Rav Meir, Doing Dina de Garmi, who judges the law of Garmi obligating payment for certain cases of indirectly causing damage. So the circus monkey standing under a Lifnim Ashura Zed Din sign, giving a female monkey bananas for wrongly evaluating the validity of her coin, saw another monkey wearing a Din Garmi cap swinging towards him holding a paper that said, you are chayev to pay. And flying over a third monkey dyeing wool black that was meant to be dyed red. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one gave a dyer wool to dye red for him, and he dyed it black, or the reverse, Rabbi Meir says, no similar to Meit Samro, he pays him the wool's original value, because Rabbi Meir considers his deviation from his instructions as stealing the wool, so he acquires it with his shinui of coloring. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says he pays either the dyer's expenses or the wool's improvement, whichever is less. Daf Kuf Aleph. So the simon Daf Kuf Aleph is a bird collar that goes ka ka. So here goes. The bird collar, that must be more in Daf Kuf Aleph, a bird collar who goes ka ka. The bird collar who blew his whistle as two birds held up his stolen sweater to see if the stolen dye was still present in it, which reminds us. The Gemara asks the question, Yesh Shevach Samanim Ahatzemer, is the improvement of dye on the wool considered something material or not? Rashi explains the question is if chazusa milsi, appearance, is a significant matter, making the dye still considered present. Since stolen dye must be returned, the case must be where one stole wool and dye belonging to the same person, and he dyed the wool with it and then returned the dyed wool. If yesh shevach samanim al gabi tzemer, the dye is still considered present, he has returned everything he stole, but if not, he must pay for the stolen dye. So the bird call who blew his whistle as two birds held up his stolen sweater to see if the stolen dye was still present in it, had a jacket that had been dyed with the peels of orla fruit set afire because chazusa milsi, which reminds us, it was stated in the Mishnah, beged shetzvo beklipe orla yedalek, a garment which was dyed with the peels of orla fruit should be set afire. This proves chazusa milsi, appearance is considered a significant matter, and the orla is still considered present. So the bird call who blew his whistle as two birds held up a stolen sweater to see if the stolen dye was still present in it, had a jacket that had been dyed with the peels of orla fruit set afire, because chazusa milsihi, using wood which has no kedusha shviz, since its benefit is after its consumption, which reminds us, the Gemara deals with the question if wood is subject to Kedusha Shviz, and answers that the Pasuk says, La'achla, to eat, teaching, B'misha Anasa U'B'iro Shavin. Kedusha Shviz applies to produce whose benefit and consumption coincide, like food. This excludes wood, whose benefit, the baking, is after its consumption, meaning after the wood is reduced to coals. Daf Kuf Beis. So the Simur Daf Kuf Beis is a cave. So here goes. The man who lived in a cave. Cave? That must be on Daf Kuf Beis. The man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchokas Anayim of Shemitah produce may be used for soaking flax or laundering if it was picked for that purpose. So the man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, who had been disappointed when the shlichi sent to purchase wheat, returned with barley, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that if someone gave a shlich money to buy wheat, to sell at a higher price, and split the profits, and instead the shlich bought barley, or the reverse, in b'chasu b'chasu lo, if they depreciated for the shlich, v'mosiro hosiro lo, and if they appreciate it, they appreciate it for him, meaning the shlich takes all losses and gains and repays the investor's capital. Another brisa says they divide the profits, but the shlich takes all losses. Rabbi Yochanan explains that the first price is Rabbi Meir, who taught on Daf Kuf Amud Beis regarding dyeing wool the wrong color, that one who deviates from instructions is deemed a gazlan. Therefore, this shliach acquires the produce with the stolen money. So the man who lived in a cave, busy soaking flax in a pool of juice of Shemitah produce, picked specifically for that purpose, who had been disappointed when the shliach he sent to purchase wheat returned with barley, was happy to learn that his other shliach carried out his shlichas as instructed and purchased wheat, as he was considered like the investor himself, which reminds us, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they mocked Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation that the second price is also discussing a significant deviation from his instructions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how does the investor acquire a share of the grain when the shulich disobeyed him, who informed the owner of the wheat that he should transfer wheat to the owner of the money instead of the shulich? Rav Shmuel Bar Sosrati challenges reasoning, arguing that even when a shulich purchases wheat as he was told, no one informed the seller to transfer wheat to the investor. Rav Yavo answered that when he purchased wheat as he was told, he performed his shlichus, and is considered like the Baal Bais, the investor himself, so he may perform a transaction on the investor's behalf. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which did they learn if a craftsman returned a cloak at midday? As soon as the sun sets, the owner is over on Baal Taling, that's on Duff. Study test. Good number 2. Which daf do we have Malchokas if Shemitah produce can be used to soak flax if it was specifically picked for that purpose? That's on daf. Kuf Beis. Good number 3. Which daf we have the case of one who falsely claimed that he bought a field on the Reish Galus's behalf and the question if he can ask the seller to write a second shtar? That's on daf. Kuf Gimel. Good number 4. Which daf to discuss whether Yesh Sevach Samani Malat Semer is the improvement of dye on the wool considered something material? That's on Dov. Kuf Hav. Good number 5. Which daf in the case of one sending a shliach to buy wheat to sell on the market and the shliach bought barley? That's on Dov. Kuf Beis. Good number 6. Which daf when Rav Huna holds that a coin that is nipsal means that it's disqualified by the government to use? That's on Dov. Design. Good number 7. Which of the one, the one who burns his fellow shtar is putter, because although the lender cannot collect his loan, the one who burned the shtar can say, I burned a mere paper of yours. That's on Duff. Tzadiches. Good. Number 8. Which Duff do Malchus? What is done if a gazan robs someone from a group of 5 and can't remember who it was? That's on Duff. Kuf Gimel. Good number 9. Which Duff do Malchus? What a dyer must pay if he dyes the garment black when he's supposed to dye it red? That's on Duff. Kuf. Good. Number 10. Which of the one who robs someone of something worth a shava pruta and then swears and later confesses he must return the item a few lamadai? That's on Daf. Kuf Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.